Chapter 6. While Sam went to wrangle the kids and other folks in the house, I went back to get the rest of my gear. Of course, when I got back to the yard where I'd left my bags, they were gone. Frowning, I looked at the window where I'd seen the man before. He tried to not let me see him. He only used one eye to look out the window to minimize his silhouette, but I caught the movement as he dodged out of sight. And when he looked again, 15 seconds later, he was looking down the barrel of the rifle I was holding. This time I had a very clear view of him through the scope when he looked. It was a good scope and hadn't been damaged when I threw the rifle. And I held the rifle tightly with one hand as I waved to him to come out of the house with the other. He dove back to the side, out of sight, and I sighed. I really didn't have time for this shit. "The Blues will be back soon," I called. "If you don't want me to lead them here to you, I recommend you give me back my stuff. I've already killed a dozen people today. One more won't make that much of a difference to me." Sad as that sounded, the last two sentences were probably the truest things I'd said all day. It seemed like I should have felt something, anything, about the man I'd killed. But so far, nothing. Even Sam had looked a little sad when he'd looked at the man he'd shot. But me? Nothing. The door cracked open.
"Someone came and stole your bags," the man yelled through the crack.
"I told you to watch them," I replied. "So one of two things is going to happen. Either you're going to throw them out here where I can get them, or you're going to come out here and lead me to whoever has them."
"I didn't see who took them."
"As long as I've been out here, you've been watching out one window or another. You know who has them." I made a production of looking down to turn off the safety on the rifle. "Last chance," I said. "If those bags aren't out here in 5 seconds, I start shooting. We'll make it easy on the Blues. They can just follow the sounds of my gunfire. 1, 2, 3.
"Wait," the man called. "Let me see if my wife found them and brought them in."
The door shut and reopened several seconds later.
"She had them,"
the man called. The door opened a little further and the bags were thrown out into the yard. The door slammed shut before the second bag hit the ground. As the man appeared to have no intention of coming out to bring them to me, I made myself at home and walked in through the gate. I could tell before I got to them that they had both been ransacked and that things were missing from both. They had been full. Now they weren't. I slung the rifle over my shoulder and drew a pistol so I could have a free hand. Keeping one eye on the door, I searched through the bags. The clothes were still in the duffel, but some of the food and water were gone. Two of the pistols and several magazines were similarly missing from the other bag. I sighed as I looked at the house, having armed the person I now needed to deal with. While nothing I'd seen so far had shown the man to be a killer, any person can kill if backed far enough into a corner. I also didn't know how many other people were in the house. The man might have backup. I scanned the house, looking for another set of eyes or a gun, and didn't see one. I did, however, see a potential solution.
"Several of my weapons and my food seem to be missing," I called.
The door cracked open again.
"That was for watching them for you,"
the man said.
"Are you planning on going anywhere soon?"
I asked.
"What? What do you mean?"
"It looks like you have two vehicles,"
I said, pointing to where a small economy car and a truck sat under a carport.
"I'm in need of transportation. If you throw out the keys of the truck, you can keep everything you stole from me and we'll call it even."
"I want another magazine of ammo,"
the man replied.
"Fine," I said.
I pulled one from the bag and flipped it onto the grass. 2 seconds later, the door opened a little more and he threw the keys out.
"Go,"
he ordered.
"And don't try anything foolish. I have a gun on you."
I holstered the pistol, set the rifle down, and threw the duffel bag over a shoulder. Grabbing the rifle with one hand and the pack with my other, I kept the rifle pointed in his direction as I sidled to the carport.
Stay in the house until I'm gone. Then you can come out and get the other magazine, I said.
If I see you outside the house, I'll kill you.
I threw the bags into the back of the truck, climbed up into the cab, and started the truck. It took a couple of tries as if it hadn't been run in a while, but it eventually fired up. I drove it down the driveway and found Sam and his entourage waiting for me on the street. In addition to Sam, there were three kids and another younger man who was probably the kid's father. The kids and the young man threw their gear in the bed of the truck and got in after it, while Sam joined me in the cab.
Would you really have killed him?
Sam asked. I stopped the truck and pulled back the charging handle to show him the rifle was empty. He chuckled.
I didn't want to kill him and leave his wife without protection.
The man laughed harder.
Old man Stephen's wife died 3 years ago.
I started laughing too as we drove off. Sometimes you have to bluff in this fallen world.